live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Dave Enn and Andrea Darlis taking the reins till 10 o'clock. Then Bill and Wendy. Mark Carman's here doing some sports. Morning, Carms.
Got a lot of energy today. I'm going to warn you. Got a lot of energy. Don't know how it's going to play out.
Have you done your jumping jacks?
It's a warning.
Wow. I've
never heard a warning. That was it.
For those listening at home and not watching on the stream yet, Mark Carman has not done his jumping jacks yet.
No, but I did do that quick, like, little arm thing for you just now, Andrea, just to get you fired up.
Like it. On a Friday, little dance party going on. All right, let's kick it off with the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
All right, number one. How about a world where Obamacare is kept in place? Mm-hmm. You didn't hear that wrong. President Trump threatening to leave Obamacare in place and move on to other issues if a House vote on a Republican replacement health care plan fails today. The outcome of the plan vote is obviously impossible to predict, but it doesn't look like it's going to pass. Even after a long day of talks yesterday, both conservative and moderate lawmakers are claiming that the bill lacks the votes. London still reeling from their terror attack earlier this week. Their top terror official did confirm yesterday that Khalid Massoud was responsible for that attack. He attacked Britain's parliament, stabbing a police officer, killing four, and wounding about 50 others when he got into his car and plowed down that little pedway along the Westminster Bridge. He was born Adrian Russell Ahau and changed his name several years ago to Khalid Massoud. They also arrested eight more people overnight, so that brings the total number of people in custody for the entire attack to nine. Next. Well, some good news. The Blackhawks, they're going to do it, aren't they, Dave?
Well, they only scored one goal in the third period last night. They had scored eight goals in the third period of their two previous games, but they beat the Dallas Stars 3-2 in a shootout, and they are now 18-3-1 in their last 22 games. They only have eight games left until the playoffs begin. Six of those will be on the road starting tomorrow night. They'll play the next three on the road, come home for two, end the season with three on the road, and then here come the playoffs.
Junior.
I just wanted to know how many games Dave thought they would win before they win their fourth cup in the last, what would it be, 7 years? You think they'll lose like three games, four games? What do you think?
In the playoffs?
Yes.
None.
They'll just sweep through the playoffs.
They're going to just sweep through it. All right, back to politics. The Keystone XL pipeline, that is probably going to be approved today. Donald Trump, President Trump, saying that he will sign the bill to put the Keystone pipeline back into effect. The State Department will recommend that the pipeline, it's in the United States' best interest. And again, clearing the way for the White House to grant that permit to TransCanada. It's an $8 billion pipeline. And one more politics for you. Toronto now, schools there, you know how you're allowed to take field trips and whatnot. Toronto right over the border. It's not uncommon for the schools to come into the United States, for field trips and whatnot with classrooms. Now, Toronto schools are not going to allow student or staff trips to the United States because they're concerned about the travel ban. We'll see how that plays out today as well.
Right. And the Bears have a new quarterback.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez, the former New York Jet, the former Philadelphia Eagle.
Wait, are we happy about this?
No.
Why? I don't know that there's great reason to be unhappy about it. He's signed as a backup quarterback.
Very good looking.
He is, I know.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we know certain staff members are happy about it. Played a couple of games last year in Dallas as a backup to Dak Prescott. He had previously spent a couple of seasons in Philadelphia. Started out last season in Denver and then got released as the young quarterback out of Northwestern, Trevor Siemian, got the job. So Mark Sanchez will apparently be penciled in to back up Mike Glennon as the new quarterback with the Bears.
There we go. I like him with the longer hair.
We got him now.
As long as we went
to
that facet.
I was sort of surprised to see this overwhelming negative reaction to Mark. He's a backup quarterback, and he's got some playing experience. He was good enough for Dallas to have as a backup last year, and season seemed to work out okay for the Cowboys. Of course, he didn't play much.
Hey, with a name like Mark, you can't go wrong.
Wouldn't you just rather have a young, talented something behind?
Well, there's no saying that they won't have
he's only 30,
behind him.
That's fine. Kind
of, don't we have some other quarterbacks, too? We got like 10 of them now, don't we?
We have three.
Who's the other one?
We have three.
You have Connor Fales.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah. David Fales.
He's
Connor Shaw.
Well,
it's kind of the same
Which one?
Guy.
It's
Mark Carmen.
It actually is the same
Mark
person.
Sanchez. Sanchez reminds me of Mark Consuelos, Kelly Ripa's husband, doesn't he, a little bit?
Can they bring back P.T. Willis? I'm sorry.
Right, Mary? I know.
Let's just bring him in, too. Consuelos, yeah. We'll have five.
He's an actor.
Now, why why is it all about how he looks?
I know. We can't really see him.
We brought that up at one point.
Because we need somebody that's not sulking all the time, you know. We need somebody interesting.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
All right, time to bring it. 6:21 in the morning, 720 WGN. Time for Lou's First Call. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. If you are the first caller, you'll get an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air right on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Good morning, Lou.
Hello there. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
You at TV getting ready to do the big Channel 9 show?
I am. You know, I'm sitting in the chair right now, and they're primping me, and they're doing, you know how I like to get the manicure before before I go on the air.
God, so is that Ingrid's taking care of you
right,
today?
Right, absolutely.
Do you need, if you need some extra makeup, my drawer is
yes.
there to your left?
You know, you guys are all fancy. I don't have a drawer. I don't go into that room. I have my own little cover girl in my pocket. I'm
okay,
age 23, just so
that,
you know.
That just made
Don't even judge. You have a little makeup in your bag, too. I've seen your bag in it.
Okay, your point is?
Lou, I knew I made it when I got a makeup drawer, but I'm like two below. So it goes like Pat Tomasulo, Dave Ennett, me, and mine is written in with a little Sharpie.
Nice. Well, I have none, so I wave to them as I go by.
But. You can share mine.
I thought yours was in pencil.
It was, but someone wrote over it in
just
Sharpie.
In case.
Not
chalk.
Me.
It's chalk, so they can just erase it quickly. Right.
All right, before we get to our first call, Lou, our Bennett Wakenight, our associate producer.
Oh, believe me.
Oh, wow. Maybe we shouldn't.
Wow.
Boy.
That's a reputation that I'm not
No, no, no. My point is, you know, the whiny staff questions now, what's happening is people are just emailing me during the week, say, hey, I got this whiny staff question. And I said to Bennett, as we were trading emails, I go, do you want me to answer this on the air or do you want me to email you? And so I just emailed him the answer.
Oh, so well, tell us what it was, Bennett.
Well, I have a very old refrigerator in my apartment.
Lou's laughing. This is great.
This is my first one. I feel very proud to
You should know. It's perfectly fine.
So I have a very old refrigerator in my apartment, and it has an ice maker in it. And for some reason, one day, the water line to the ice maker froze up, so I decided to try to thaw it out. I raised the temperature in the freezer to try to let it thaw out, thawed it out a little bit, and it started making a few cubes. And then the next day,
hey Ben, it shows over at 10.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So,
you're the producer.
Here's the problem. So the next day, I opened the freezer and all this water spewed out of the ice maker, and now half my freezer door is just frozen.
Yeah.
And it's caked in ice. Right. So I have a feeling I've got a big problem.
I don't think it's another. It's not great. This is a huge problem. There's two things that go on with ice makers, and this is what I told Bennett in the email, is the fact that you've got the water line coming up, and then typically it has a connection to a line that comes in. Probably the line is just frozen, and it's spewing out of a little seam where it comes together. Or sometimes that little line inside the freezer can crack because it's plastic, and so that piece just needs to be repaired. And there's a ton of appliance companies around the Chicagoland area where you can put in the, you know, you can call them and say, this is my model number, this is my serial number of the unit, and they'll tell you exactly what the part is. It probably costs you $6 or $7. Bing, bang, boom.
There you go.
Not bad.
Not bad.
See, that was painless.
That was very
painless.
Wasn't
too bad.
Well, from Bennett to Ennett, but I don't know if I chose your question.
Why don't
we only have about 5 more minutes? We have to. Why don't we take Lou's first call?
Take Lou's
the
first call.
Caller.
Mine can wait. My whiny question can wait.
All right, let's go to John in Grays Lake. Good morning, John. You are on with Lou Manfredini.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
I have we put in a fence a few years ago, a total replacement, and we stained it. I love the new look that it gives, but we'd like to restain it to keep that new look going. What's the best process to do that?
We're talking about a deck.
No, a fence.
A fence, excuse me. It was you broke up on my end. Okay, so they did stain it. They didn't use a clear sealer on it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the nice thing about a fence is that on a vertical surface, it lasts a little longer because nobody's walking on it. And that look, to maintain it, will only get better over time as you reapply the stain, and you'll have to actually use it less. One of my favorite stains is a semi-transparent oil stain named Penifin. And the trick here is to take a pressure washer, literally with just water, and do a light cleaning on the fence itself by spraying it down. Don't get too close because you'll damage the wood if you're too aggressive with the pressure washer. Let it dry for a couple days and then brush the stain on. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, I want to spray it; it'll be faster." Yeah, it will. But brushing it is really where you introduce most of the stain and the resins into the wood, and then pay special attention to the top edges of the wood by dabbing a little bit more on there as you even it all out. That Penifin on a vertical surface like that, you probably won't have to touch it for another 3 years, maybe four. And then when you do it 4 years from now, you probably won't have to touch it in 5 or 6 because it starts to build up and really get into those top fibers, and it just really, really looks good.
Okay, that sounds perfect. We brushed it on in the first place, so we are ready for it, and thank you very much.
You got it.
There you go. Thanks, John. Hold on the line. You, again, are going to win an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone, brought to you by our friends at American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men.
Yeah.
Dave Ennett is waiting so patiently. He's so excited.
Yes, sir.
Is this a legit question? Yeah, but it's not like a pressing problem. But remember the mole spike you recommended last year?
Oh, yeah.
Which has done it. I was out in my yard the other day. It's working.
Did you buy the solar or the batteries?
Solar.
Oh, okay, good.
Solar. And it's working. I could hear it. I don't know if the moles or the whatever can hear it. All right.
But you can hear it.
So you have a promo that runs on the station where you're saying, "Lou, the woodpeckers are eating my house."
Right.
Right? All right. So that's not a problem for me right now, though I've been seeing a ton of woodpeckers around the neighborhood.
Really?
They're going crazy in the trees. But every morning at the same time, and I happened to be home on a couple of weekdays last week, you're hearing it. And
is that the sound of the woodpecker?
Yeah, that's
yeah. Okay. But it's like at the same exact time, and it's the same exact staccato rhythm for like 20 seconds, stops for a few seconds, right, starts again, and it goes for like a half an hour nonstop. It sounds automated.
So what do you want
does one of my neighbors have like a something that is simulating the sound of a woodpecker to keep other woodpeckers away?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if you've ever noticed when you walk into the Tribune, you know, under the loading
dock, the hawk
oh,
sound
the
effect.
Hawks.
Yeah, that's a sound effect,
right,
to keep the pigeons away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that intense of a birder, and I don't know that
we didn't know Ennett was either,
right,
apparently.
And I don't know actually if woodpeckers are territorial, meaning that if another woodpecker mm-hmm. hears them, you know, like knocking on the door, that they stay away from there. I honestly don't
know.
That's
where I'm going with this,
right,
Lou.
But that is a fantastic question that maybe you could ask the people at the Botanic Garden.
Or maybe like someone from the like National Audubon Society
right.
might be able to help you.
Why don't you just ask your neighbors?
Lou, we apologize. For this,
I don't know where he's coming from.
Is he tired? Is he? Did he wake? Did he sleep later today? Is he already drinking?
Yes. Have you been?
Okay, Lou. I expect that from Cochran. I don't expect it from you.
Well, I didn't expect the woodpecker question.
It's Friday. We have the Bloody Mary bar already set
perfect.
Up along here. So
that's actually, you know what? I will tell you this, Dave. That's an interesting question, and I will do some research,
yeah,
and I will have an answer for you next week.
Lou, don't. I was going to say.
You know,
I'm not going to spend a lot of time.
I wouldn't put that on the priority list. this.
If it's not legit, we could be on to something.
We could.
And you and I can partner.
I could make the woodpecker spike.
There you go.
Yeah, call Lou. We got his number. 111-1111.
Shoot him
a text.
Right, right.
So that was your question. We thought you had another question,
Dave.
No.
Lou.
Yeah, there it is.
My buckthorn is exploding.
Right.
Yeah. We see a pattern here, Lou.
Right.
So.
Too bad the woodpeckers don't eat that.
You're the best. We'll see you on TV in a few minutes, Lou.
Bye.
Lou Manfredini. Have a great weekend.
You know, it was a very legitimate question.
I know. It was great. Again, Audubon.org.
Okay.
There's also a birdwatching website, too.
All right. Let me be honest. Mm-hmm. You know my wife.
I love your wife.
You love my wife,
right?
I do. What if I told you that was her question?
Then it's awesome. It's a great question. It's an awesome question. We have no problem anymore. Brought to you by American Weather Makers. Back with the big story next on GN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:42 in the morning, 720 WGN. Happy Friday to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out today. He'll be back on Monday. Dave and Andrea Darlis holding the ship in place, steering it, keeping it upright. Mark Carmen in studio doing sports with us today, too. So every week, Dave, we do Kid of the Week. We meet exceptional kids. I would put this young man as, I would say kid because he's a teenager, but I want everybody to meet Jake Leahy. Jake is a 17-year-old. He's 18 now, and he's running for a seat on the Bannockburn School Board. How about that, at the age of 18? Good morning, Jake.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Why are you running for the school board? You're 18. You should be doing other things.
Yeah. So I'm running because for two main reasons. I believe that when you look at everything going on in Springfield, you look at everything going on in the state, there's so much that needs to be changed, and it's so easy to sit back and complain. And this is one place where I think that it's a great place for people to step up and see that they can actually make a difference. Ever since I was at Bannockburn School 4 years ago, it's the elementary school district here, kindergarten through eighth grade. Ever since I was there, the school board would always make a decision that nobody really would understand where they came from because they didn't talk to the students. They didn't talk to the community. So I wanted to see that engagement step up. And that's just a start to really change the dynamics of the state from the ground up and from the local level.
Jake, for people who aren't familiar with Bannockburn, tell us a little about the village, because it's a small village. And I believe the school district encompasses is there one or two schools there?
Yeah, so there's one school. It's a small school, kindergarten through eighth grade. It's Bannockburn. It's about half of River Woods, unincorporated Deerfield, which is Delmar Woods, which is where I live, and then a little bit of Highland Park also.
Was there something that the school board did? Was there some sort of an issue that was like the aha moment for you where you said, you know what, I'm done? You know, I know you alluded to the fact that they made some decisions in the past that people weren't happy with, but was there something that you said, you know what, I'm done. I've got to run and start changing things?
Yeah, definitely. So what's nice about the school board here is that I never really had that specific moment here because for the most part, it's been run fairly decently. It's been run pretty well. But the issue is just that it's just a bunch of minor decisions where it's not necessarily the end of the world, but it's just one of those things where it would be nice for them to consult with the students, with the parents, with the community at large, which is something that they've just been ignoring time and time again.
All right. So tell us a little about your life outside of politics. What are you doing? Where are you in life now? I assume you're in high school. And how do you find the time to be a candidate?
Yeah, so I go to Deerfield High School. I'm a senior this year. Next year, I'll be going to the University of Illinois.
Woo, ILL.
So that's I-N-I. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with that. And then as a candidate, I canvass when I don't have homework and all that, and I try to make time for that. And that's the weekends, and during the week, I do that a little bit too. So that's really where that time comes from. And the meetings next year. Should I be on the board is once a month, and they're about an hour, so I'll just have to come back from school once a month to do that. So it's not as daunting as a task as it might seem like, which is really a message that I want people to realize, too, is that if I can do it, anybody can do it. Anybody can step up, and anybody can really have a big impact on their community as a whole.
I like you wrote it. You wrote an opinion to the editor. You kind of wrote an op-ed piece for the Daily North Shore paper, and you said in it something that really resonated with me. You said, you know, people are saying, well, you don't have real world experience. You're so young. You're there. I mean, you were just there. You're in the district. You're young enough. So I think your argument is great because it's kind of counter saying, hey, I'm young. I was just there. I'm more in touch with school related issues than maybe someone who's been removed for 5, 10, 15 years.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I always remind people is that there's a board of 7 people. I wouldn't want 4 of me on that board. But when you have me, you have people who are doctors and lawyers and all that who have that different background. I think that's a great place to have a different opinion and a different perspective to really bring about change. And again, it's not 4 of me on the board. That would be problematic for sure. But it's just one perspective out of 7.
Now, you're going to be in Champaign. How are you going to serve on the school board? Will you just go back and forth for meetings? How often do they meet?
Yeah, so it's once a month. And so I'll come back. I'll take a mega bus or I'll drive or however that will work out.
Okay.
So again, it won't be horrible, but it won't be, I mean, I'm sure that when that once a month comes down, it'll be hard to come back sometimes and I won't necessarily want to all at times, but it's definitely a great opportunity and something that it's not going to be the end of the world for me. So I'll just have to do that.
Jake, I don't want to be the skeptic on the show here, but you sound like you're 36. What year were you born? Let's do a little
quick.
Birth 1999.
Okay. 1999.
All right.
Yeah. I think I have like clothes that old.
The other candidates, by the way, were all born in the 60s and 70s.
Right. So. But you know what? He's getting a fine education at the University of Illinois. So we have no doubt, Jake, that you're going to do wonderful things.
Yes. And you know, too, is Steve talked to David Hochberg, who's a big supporter of mine. He was my first donor, too. So thank you, too, to Dave for putting that word in and to have me on here.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
What are the polls telling you, Jake?
Yeah.
You know, the polls are very scientific and very accurate.
Yes, always.
I think it'll be – I get a good reception when I go door-to-door when I talk to people because people do like the idea of having that different perspective on there. So
I bet you do.
I can just say that with the polls. Can't afford a full poll, so –
Pounding the pavement.
Fair enough.
Pounding the pavement. Hey, Jake, thanks for being with us. Good luck. Of course, the election is April 4th, and we will be watching to see you do some great things.
Yes, and my website is VoteLeahy.com, so be sure to go there for more information to donate to volunteer for all that.
VoteLeahy, LEAHY.com.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Jake. Best of luck. How about that? 18 years old running
for
school
who
board.
Doesn't run for public office when they're 18?
I know.
Well, you know the drill. For the Blackhawks Express, when the Blackhawks lose, we devote about 2 seconds to it. When the Blackhawks win, we spend about the next 5 minutes or so. So it's time for the elongated Blackhawks Express. It's sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Tilt before they head to the Sunshine State, and they need a few more points to lock up home ice for the playoffs. Tonight would be a good time to start, as the Dallas Stars are in town looking for a few more wins and a little respectability. Here's Jamie Benn shorthanded through center ice over the Hawk line down the left wing. Shoots, that's over the net and around the glass. And then Eakin had trouble with it on the near side Hawk line. Panic's got it to Kane over the Stars line. Left circle, shoots, he scores! Power play goal for the Hawks, and Patrick Kane put it right through the five hole on Carey Lehtinen. It's 1-0 Hawks. Klingberg right corner to the slot. Hemsky shoots, he scores. Alesh Hemsky caught a pass, and from near the tops of the circles, rolled down the slot and fired the puck past Crawford into the top left corner. The Stars have tied it at 1. Stars line left, point to Hossa in the slot. Shoots, he scores! Marian Hossa! Fired a slap shot from out near the tops of the circles, and this beats Lehtinen cleanly. The Hawks are back on top, 2-1. Klingberg bothered at the left point, kept the puck away from Marian Hossa, moves it right point. Esselindell shoots, they score. Crawford made the initial save, but left the rebound to the right of the net, and Alesh Hemsky put it in behind him. Bethel! the side of the net. He fires a shot. Crawford whacked it away. And the Crawford pops on the puck in the Hawk crease and hold it. Jamie Benn had about four tries right there. But Corey Crawford slammed the door. Timmy Panarin will be the next shooter. Takes the puck at center ice. Panarin over the Stars line, down the left wing. Cuts back across the slot. Dinks it. Chitty scores with a backhand into the top shelf. Oh, did Panarin put some mustard on that one? He left Letton reaching for the puck the other way and put it way up into the top shelf, just under the crossbar. Here's Alex Hemsky. He's got a score to keep the Stars alive. He takes the puck at center ice, wheels into the Hawks zone, moves in and fires. Crawford got a piece of it, knocking wide. Hawks win in the shootout. The final score of the shootout was 2-1 in favor of the Hawks. Final score of the hockey game, the Hawks 3 and the Stars 2.
So, big win for the Blackhawks. They are now 18-3-1 in their last 22 games, so, going back to Groundhog Day.
June 2nd's good for me for a rally and a parade.
It'll be probably a few days after that.
The 9th I might be. How about June 16th?
That works.
Just for planning purposes.
And wait a minute. That's the day before my daughter's wedding. Can we do it? Oh. Well, that would work. It's not the day of.
Well, you might have the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, we'll do that the night before.
Do that the night
It'll
before.
Work.
Yeah,
It'll all work out. Okay. That's our Blackhawks Express. Hawks play tomorrow night at Florida, and we'll have the pregame at 5:30. We've got the news coming up, 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
First, do you expect there to be a vote tonight?
That's what I understand the House is scheduled, yes.
Any chance that that's going to be pushed back?
That would be obviously up to Speaker Ryan and Leader McCarthy, but I've been... Nothing leads me to believe that that's the case.
Is there an acknowledgement that perhaps there does need to be a plan B if this vote doesn't happen tonight?
Plan A.
So is this plan A minus then? Because plan A was pushed back when it wasn't supposed to be pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't pass, there'll need to be a plan B. So I'm calling this plan A minus.
If it doesn't pass, then it goes back to...
Oh, then it would be like
plan...
minus A?
Yeah.
You know, like T minus ground zero kind of a thing. 7:11 in the morning, 7:20 WGN. Happy Friday to you. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve will be back on Monday. Dave and I are in with you until 10 o'clock this morning. All right, healthcare is going to be the big issue today. Congressman Peter Roskam joining us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Congressman.
Andrea and Dave, thanks for having me on.
Well, we're happy to have you. All right, so Donald Trump yesterday literally threatened to leave Obamacare in place and move on to other issues if the House vote on the replacement health care plan fails today. What do you make of that?
Look, I think that may be sort of Donald Trump style negotiating and so forth. I'm not convinced that if the bill were to go down today, that is, it doesn't get the votes, that, all settled and there's no further discussions on Obamacare. I think what the president is saying, he's frustrated with sort of the nature of interacting with the House of Representatives and the complicated nature of negotiating with Capitol Hill. And he's like saying, hey, take it or leave it sort of attitude. But if your question is, does this mean if this bill goes down, does that mean there's no further discussion on Obamacare? Not a chance. There will be further discussions and revisions and so forth. But there's a lot of there's a lot of interest in having this vote today. It's been talked about. It's been discussed and so forth. And at some point, you basically have to take the temperature of the House to say, all right, what do you think? Do you like this or not? If it passes, great, it moves on to the Senate. If it doesn't, then clearly there will be continuing negotiations.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, when they pushed the vote back from yesterday to today, many saw that, or some even said, oh, that's an embarrassment. I didn't see it as that. I mean, I know everyone's trying to get their ducks in order, especially President Trump and the Republicans, to see if they have enough votes for the bill to actually pass. So I didn't see it as that. Did you, Congressman, as an embarrassment?
No, I don't. Look, I don't either. And I think there's a deeper diagnosis here, because if you kind of scratch your head and you say, why is this complicated? And I think part of it is it's this complicated because in the past, the Republican Party has been very skilled at communicating what we're against. We didn't like Obamacare, we didn't like this, and we didn't like that. We've talked generally about things that we have liked, because we know these general themes, but in terms of moving text, moving actual legislation out of the House of Representatives, the GOP has never done it. And so now the first time that you have an opportunity to do it, you're doing it in the context of this highly complicated, difficult to explain thing called reconciliation, which is, you know, hard even to get your head around. And you're beginning to sort of limit yourself to the nature of the things that you can pass. So you're not even passing the bill that is your dream bill. You're passing it in ways that will be subject to approval on a complicated thing in the United States Senate that make it, quote, a privileged motion. So you can see how this all gets even more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I think, to your point, look, you propose things. It is the founders made it complicated and difficult to pass big pieces of legislation, and it's supposed to be difficult. And so we've got to develop consensus, got to think this through. And if it passes today, then great. The Senate will take it up. If not, we'll be back to the drawing board.
And you bring up a great point, too. Remember when Obamacare was rolled out, too, how confusing that was. We had problems with the sign-up. We had problems understanding it. Collectively, this bill may not pass. So what would be the sticking point with this bill? And I agree with you. I think if it doesn't, it's going to go back to the drawing board. It'll be discussed and brought up for another vote once that is refined as well. But as this bill stands right now, what are some of the sticking points and reasons for why it might not pass?
So there's a couple sticking points, and then I think there's a solution. The sticking points are there's some people that are concerned about its impact on the Medicaid population at kind of a vulnerable end of the spectrum. And there's other people that say, hey, you're creating a new entitlement in the tax code. That is, you're giving people refundable tax credits. So some it's kind of like too hot, some it's too cold. Here's where I think the solution lies. If this were to fail, and I am of the opinion that the GOP needs to pass out of the House the bill that it aspires to, what would you act, you know, what's the health care bill that we think that the Republican Party says is the solution moving forward? Forgetting about the 60-vote threshold in the United States Senate, which looms large, and let the Senate deal with what goes over. Let Senator Schumer filibuster it. That would be the ultimate teaching moment. Then you come back and say, all right, in light of Senator Schumer's filibuster, he won't let you pass the bill that you want out of the Senate. Now we go through and come up with this more scaled down approach. The challenge is there's not enough people that are convinced that the Senate is a big obstacle. It is, but not enough people are convinced of that. So I think that's kind of where part of the solution can lie.
Well, we know you have a lot on your plate. Thank you for being with us today, Congressman, and best of luck moving forward with all of this.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Seven twenty-one in the morning, 720 WGN. So yesterday, a Cook County judge ruled against the no budget, no pay policy backed by Governor Rauner, Democratic Controller Susana Mendoza, and former Controller and now Deputy Governor Leslie Munger, who joins us on the phone now. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning, Andrea. How are you this morning?
We are great. I'm sorry, I should say Deputy Governor. It's just
just Leslie.
it's a new title. So now you kind of spearheaded this last year when you were controller, and kind of withheld lawmakers' paychecks because of the ongoing budget impasse and the stalemate. Susana Mendoza followed your lead and said, "No, we're not going to pay lawmakers till a budget is in place." And now a judge has ruled against her, saying that lawmakers will get their pay. First of all, let's get your thoughts on the whole ruling.
Well, I just want to make something completely clear. I never, I think the judge's decision was as I understand it, he ruled for the lawmakers because he said the comptroller is not allowed under law to use discretion as to, you know, who to pay when. And I just want to make it clear that the policy that I put in place a year ago, last April, was not, I did not use discretion. I actually processed payments on their due date as I was required by law, and Comptroller Mendoza's continued that process. Mm-hmm. But we're out of money in the state. And so what I did was stop prioritizing payments to elected officials, including myself, my own pay at that time, and my pay is still actually backlogged from when I was comptroller. And so rather than prioritizing our pay, so we pulled our paychecks up to the front of the line to be paid before hospitals and schools and human service providers. We waited in the same line everyone else is. It's quite different than what Governor Quinn did a number of years ago, where he actually stopped paying the legislators. We have been paid, all the elected officials. We've just been paid in line with the state's bills.
Got it.
It's not a matter of discretion. And so I'm extremely disappointed in the decision by the judge. I actually sounded like a week ago when there was some discussion about it that he was inclined to keep the elected official pay in line with the state's bills. So it was surprising to me yesterday to hear of the ruler of the ruling. And I'm disappointed in our current comptroller for not asking for a stay in the processing of those payments pending the appeal that she's asked for. I think it's important that we all wait in the same line. It's a matter of fundamental fairness. Why should those elected to lead the state who's have the power to get in place a budget that's balanced so that we can pay for what we commit to, why should they be paid, we be paid, before the people who really are at the mercy of the legislature and the elected officials in the state?
Okay, so two major questions then, Leslie. The state right now has $12.8 billion in unpaid bills. So one, where is that money going to come from? And two, is it retroactive? I mean, are lawmakers now just going to be getting a big check, or are they still in that line that you spoke of, waiting to get paid like everybody else?
I don't know for sure, but I suspect that now they'll get a big check. I mean, we've all been in line. So I got my paycheck from June of last year for when I was the comptroller. I received the end of this January. I have not received a payment for my work from July last year yet. And that is the same as the legislators. We're all in line with the state's bills. And that's the same as the human service organizations that have provided services under contracts to the state, and small businesses who provide food and services to state entities like our correctional centers. Everyone in the state who's dependent on funding from the state is waiting months, 8-9 months now to get paid. So this ruling essentially has the judge saying that we have to prioritize elected official pay before schools, before human services, before our businesses, where what I did last year was to continue to pay everyone. I processed those paychecks, the payroll, on the due date as required by law, but then I put us all on the same line waiting for cash available to make till we got paid.
Yeah, and I think,
like everyone else.
Right, and I think most of us, most taxpayers, commended you and commended Controller Mendoza for stopping the payment, even if it was just a symbolic gesture at some point, and maybe she knew down the road that the courts would overturn this. I can't speak to that, but even if it was a symbolic gesture, I'm just wondering if everybody realizes how this looks. I mean, it looks like legislators are being greedy and putting their own paychecks ahead of taxpayers, and especially human service agencies.
That's right. And, again, we have not stopped the pay. It's the pay has never been stopped for any of us. Mm-hmm. The payroll is run on the due date. We are just paid in line with everyone else. So if we were a human service organization and we provided services last July and we weren't under some court order to be paid on a different timetable, we would be getting paid about now. So it just puts everybody on a level playing field. And I think it's very disappointing. It really, I really think it really shows that the legislators who brought this suit to get themselves paid think they are a protected class. They're the ones that voted to make sure they got their pay, even if they didn't pass a budget. Even if there's no budget in place, and only in Illinois can we have a situation where the people who create the laws can create laws that benefit themselves at the expense of the organizations that serve the state at the expense of the taxpayers. We often hear our Constitution invoked and saying, this is a constitutional requirement. The first requirement is that the legislature and the governor, elected officials of the state, work together to create a balanced budget. And that has been ignored for decades. In fact, our current comptroller, when she was in the legislature, she admitted at one point saying, we knew we were passing things that we couldn't pay for, but we were going to, I think her quote was, get the money somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. The money is out. And the legislators continue to prioritize themselves above the people in the state who are paying for all this. And I think it really speaks to how you know, why we need to do things differently in the state. We must get to budgets that are balanced.
Absolutely.
And do things differently in the state. So we have money to pay for what we commit to.
Of course. Do you, final question for you, Leslie, because I know you have to run. Will this move elongate the process of not reaching a budget deal? I mean, does this give them panic? Yeah.
I think it certainly takes the pressure off. And, you know, I would hope that Comptroller Mendoza would, instead of processing payments immediately, that she would seek a stay on this pending her appeal, and that she would seek outside counsel to represent her. The attorney general, is her paycheck is in this mix. She is not independent in this matter. And I sought outside counsel on behalf of the taxpayers to stand up, so that I think it's important that this really be independent judgment, that there is no indication of any favoritism in this. I think it's hard to say when you have the AG whose paycheck's in the same line as the legislators representing the taxpayers.
I hear you. Well, Leslie, thank you for being with us and, you know, explaining everything. And we understand where you sit and stand on this, too. So keep on keeping on.
And thank you. My face still in that line. You know what? And I'm okay waiting. So.
Absolutely right. Hey, we have a new basketball coach. We're going to be okay, right?
How about it? You know, Illinois, I-L-L-I-N-I.
I-N-I, yeah. Leslie, woo-hoo.
And it's been a good year.
And it's rolling his eyes over here.
No. He's a very good coach.
Hey, thank you so much.
I'm always optimistic for my Illini.
Me too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Have a great weekend. That's Deputy Governor Leslie Munger. Incidentally, Tribune reporting today that our controller, Susana Mendoza, says she'll comply with the order, but she will ask her lawyer to appeal the judge's ruling. Okay. So we have that to look forward to as well. Big story coming up. Come on, don't roll your eyes. We had to talk a little.
No, I wasn't rolling my eyes about basketball. I was rolling my eyes about the whole mess.
I hear you. A big story next on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:39, Friday morning, Steve Cochran Show. Steve is under the weather. Perhaps if he had paid attention to our next guest, he wouldn't be. Be much healthier, right? Dave Ennett, Andrea Darlis in for Steve. We hope he's feeling better. He's back here on Monday. I have five letters for you, A.D. W-B-T-V-N. W-B-T-V-N. Do you know what those letters stand for?
Well, I do, only because our next guest, the founder of the Women's Broadcast Television Network. How cool is that?
Shay Vaughn is with us this morning. Shay, welcome to WGN. How are you?
Thank you. I'm just doing great, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show this morning.
All right, tell us what WBTVN stands for.
Well, it stands for the Women's Broadcast Television Network, which we refer to as WBTVN. It's the first of all women's broadcast OTT internet stations with original content that's actually created by women and for women.
Shay Vaughn is a lifestyle pioneer, nationally recognized health and wellness authority, and co-founder CEO of WBTVN, and also, as an aside, is the mother of actor Vince Vaughn. So, but she's here to talk about WBTVN. What sort of programming does this network offer, and where can we see it?
Well, you can go to WBTVN.tv. We actually have an app also that's called Women on TV. So some of our major partners are like Roku, Hulu, Apple TV, Comcast, and so that helps us to really bring in listeners on a worldwide basis. So we actually have more than 20 million viewers that people can attract to their shows. Our hosts can confidently come on and realize that if they, you know, do a great show, just like you guys do, you know, a great show, then you're going to build your listeners and your fans.
Shay, you're called America's Queen of Wellness and have written many books, go around the country speaking about, you know, how to better yourself through exercise and communications, and author of the best-selling book Breakthrough. This I found fascinating. The five living principles to defeat stress, look great, and find total well-being. All right, so I know we can't go through all of those, but what would be maybe one or two of the top principles to defeat stress? Because I think we're all stressed.
Andrea has a lot of stress.
I think we're all stressed.
Just working with me, she's got stress.
Well, we all have stress, and many times it's, you know, stress that is, you know, put upon us. But also many times stress that we really, you know, take on that we don't need to. And the principles are really there to help you to break through barriers that are really holding you back. And most people just hear them as words, but when they're actually put together and applied to decisions you're going to make, situations that you find yourself in, and you really need to have to ask yourself those questions. I don't know that there's one or two of those that, you know, are more important. They're in line, because commitment, the truth of the matter is, so many people will come back to me and say, you know, the hardest one for me is really, you know, perseverance, which is the second one. And I, you know, when you sit down and you talk to somebody, the truth of the matter is that they give up when they don't need to. And that really brings us back to number one, which is commitment. If you're not committed like you are to pay your mortgage, to your insurance, or, you know, pick up your kids at a certain time at school, then you're not committed enough. It's like signing a contract with yourself. And once you do that, you realize that there's going to be some hard work that you're going to have to put into it, because if there wasn't, you'd already have that done.
I've always been a proponent of fitness and exercise, mm-hmm. and I find if I don't stick to it, I'm just a mess. I mean, that's when stress does get to you. What is the number one principle of wellness that you adhere to on a daily basis?
You know, I come from a dance background, and when you have to show up, it's like sports or anything else that you know committed to in your younger years. And because of that, it really taught me a lot about, you know, showing up, learning what I needed to do. I performed. I was part of the team. And so the discipline that it gave me is the thing I deal with every single day. And that is to be able to get up, get it done, do what I need to do to help myself to be healthy, and to realize that it's, you know, all part of just living a healthy life. It doesn't mean that you have to spend 2 hours in a gym or running on a treadmill, or just, you know, get up and do something. And then, you know, as you get better at it and you reap the rewards of it, it gets easier to do it. It becomes a habit. You got to change those non-habits that aren't healthy into good habits that are.
Shay, let's get to the food for a second here. I'm a big believer that if you have like a nice broccoli, then you can have a cheeseburger. You just need the balance.
What, they cancel each other
a
out?
A nice yes. broccoli?
One, like, you know, in a three-meal day, two good ones, you can have one not-so-good one, and you're good. Do you buy into that?
You know, here's what I buy into. I buy into that, you know, life is a journey, and I don't think any of us want to live life denying every single thing that, you know, might be a pleasure to us. So I definitely do think a little bit of what you want to do is okay, but you just can't do it every day. You really need to have some discipline and learn to like food for what it is. And it's not just about broccoli. It's just, it really is just about, you know, staying away from things that aren't natural foods.
Shay, balance, obviously, hugely important. But what about routine? I know that can be good and bad. Well, like, we should have your routine. You exercise, you eat healthy. But some say, you know, don't have, splurge a little bit sometimes.
What about two workouts a day?
That's is that a little much, or is that part of the routine?
Not for athletes and some people. I mean, they actually, you know, have a routine. I do think that routines are important, but I think they do have to be healthy routines. And that doesn't mean that life doesn't step in sometimes and you don't get to go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. Not that everybody gets up and does that, but you need to, you know, have some balance in your life. You need to, you know, enjoy things that you like, but you really do need to be disciplined with it and realize that at some point in time, if you're overdoing it, that it's going to cause issues later on. There's no question about it. It's proven.
Yeah.
You're talking about life as a journey, Shay. Like that makes me think about being actually present to the journey and perhaps present to yourself and not on your phone and not thinking about what you haven't done and actually enjoying being in the moment. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that's part of what I wrote in my book. And being present does more things for you than what you realize. There's so many people that kind of, you know, think a certain thing is a certain way, or that somebody said something that maybe they didn't. And all of a sudden, if you're present in conversations, you learn things that you didn't think, you know, was that way. And that can actually be a change in your life and something that can kind of release you from, you know, maybe stress or things because you didn't know how to approach that person or you've just been carrying something. I want to tell you just something just to really make this point. You know, I have a friend who's a single mom, and she worked hard, and every night she used to help her daughter with her homework. And all the time that she was doing that, she was texting. Well, as the child grew up and they had conversations back and forth, one of the things that she said to her was, you know, I was with you every night. I did homework with you. I was with you. She turned around, the daughter turned around and said, no, Mom, you weren't. You were texting. So being in the moment is maybe something that you might think that you are, but maybe somebody else doesn't.
Absolutely. It's all about health and wellness. And this is Shay Vaughn. Shay, thank you so much. We can watch you at WBTVN, the Women's Broadcast Television Network. It's online, too, at WBTVN.TV. And you're all over YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and everywhere. So congratulations on all of your success.
Well, and I thank you for that, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Shay.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to hop on the elliptical.
Present to the moment.
Little broccoli, what? Little cheeseburger.
Well, how's your training? That doesn't work.
Yeah. Right. Andre, how's your training for the Shamrock Shuffle?
You know, it's going okay. I'm losing a little weight, feeling
you're
pretty
good.
You guys are the best.
I'm excited for
now
you.
Now I have my wellness coach, my lifestyle coach, and Mark Carmen.
Two workouts a day. Let's go.
How about
that?
Do you do two a day?
No, I don't.
You guys, I know you guys all work out every single day. Mary does yoga. Yep. I think we're all relatively.
Yoga. Mary took yoga from yoga. Shay Vaughn.
Yeah, you did take yoga from Shay.
Oh, I did. She's the most amazing
Mary
instructor.
Yeah, isn't she great? Sandberg,
sorry. She is great. And also, I agree with Mark Carmen. Last night, I served the kids. We had burgers and salad.
There you go.
So, and you were texting the whole time.
No, I wasn't texting. they were
She's
dancing,
getting the show
though.
Together.
Yeah.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
What?
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 Do what?
What do you feel like doing?
What?
What?
Back to that. Want to do.
Dave, what do you want to do this weekend?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
What do you want to do?
Don't you have that? Do you and Karen have that discussion all the time?
Yeah.
I don't care.
What do you want to do?
What
do you want to go see a movie?
This is the segment.
What do you want to watch?
She drives that, though. Let's be honest, right?
Little Netflix and chill. Grace and Frankie, their season starts. It's online right now. Why are you looking at me weird? Netflix and chill.
I know
what that means.
Oh, I know. We're going to talk to Kim Potts next half hour.
Yeah, speaking of Netflix and chilling.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on in the Chicago area this weekend. First of all, we can't forget our friends at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show that runs through Sunday. Get on out there. It's absolutely beautiful this year, as it always is.
And again, don't take the centerpieces.
No, right.
They're not for you.
Tony Abruzzese was in with us a little earlier this week. And get on out there. It's a beautiful thing to do. It's going to be 75 degrees out there today. Perfect day to go see some flowers. And on that note, too, the Chicago Botanic Garden Orchid Show is still going on through Sunday
as well. I love the Botanic Garden.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
It's great. We have a membership there.
Walk around there.
Just walk.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd bringing the Experience Hendrix Tour to the Chicago Theater on Saturday night. That'll be awesome. Dweezil Zappa is going to make an appearance as well as Johnny Lang. Don't forget, remember the book A Wrinkle in Time, your favorite little kid book reading assignment, comes to life this weekend at the Lifeline Theater on North Glenwood Avenue. Charlie Parker's Yardbird, this chamber opera taking a wild dive into the great jazz saxophonist's mind. If you have a chance to see that, that's at the Harris Theater, 205 East Randolph Street, Friday and Sunday. And don't forget Fun with Science, that stem cell-inspired but still amusing activities for the kids at the Museum of Science and Industry. That'll be on Saturday at the Adler Planetarium as well. So it's a joint effort that they're doing together.
Mark does that every weekend, Fun with Science.
I do. I'm actually thinking about doing something different this weekend. I might go to the Bulls game tonight.
You can do the night at the museum. They're offering, you know, you can stay overnight at the museum. They're having their extreme ice exhibit. That's from 7 to 10 tonight. At the Museum of Science and Industry.
Would it be kind of cold if you're trying to sleep?
Food and drinks. So that might be something for you, too.
That's good.
Sponsored by Majestic Star Casino. We thank them for that. Just a few things going on this weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, Andrea.
I'm working all weekend.
Oh, come on.
I'm working for the weekend.
Okay, but that's during the week.
Working for the weekend.
Song.
All weekend long. We're back after this with the news on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
The best of the biz, she is Kim Potts, TV screener who working for Yahoo.com. You just have to ask and then listen, because she's in the know, and she knows the shows that will stay or go. I'm just going to hear what she has to say. There ain't no better reason this entire TV season to listen to Kim Potts today.
8:11 in the morning, 720 WGN. Our favorite guest is back two times this week, Yahoo TV's Kim Potts. Hey, Kim.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We are great. Thanks for coming back. Everybody was saying we didn't get to ask
Kim. And I wasn't here Monday, so I didn't get, or Tuesday, whatever day it was, so I didn't get to hear Kim.
Dave missed you, Kim.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, thank you, Dave. You know, I just realized I should make my theme song my alarm clock, because that would be such a great way to wake up every morning.
It would be. All right, so let's start. What did we not cover on Tuesday when I wasn't here? How about Game of Thrones?
Ooh, Game of Thrones, they finally announced the big premiere date for that just a couple of weeks ago. And it still seems like a long way off, July 16th, but it'll, of course, be here before we know it. And some crazy, crazy things happening again in season 7.
It's going to be great. All right, House of Cards. Everybody wants to know when season 5 is coming out and if it's going to be
a reality show, isn't it?
Right, Al? Kim? It's like art imitating life.
It really is in a scary, scary degree of accuracy, right? Finally back on May 30th, a little later this year. It usually premieres around Valentine's Day. But there are new showrunners. The original showrunner creator of the series stepped down. But the new showrunners are two members of the writing staff. So I think things will continue, you know, along pretty unchanged in terms of the tone and the you know, the pace of the drama, which is always so crazy on that show. A couple of new cast members, Patricia Clarkson and Campbell Scott. Of course, we don't know a lot of details. They always protect, you know, the little details of things and who the new cast members are going to play. But we have been told that it's going to be a darker season.
Oh,
how can it get much darker?
Yeah, it ended. Last season ended. I wasn't real happy with the ending of season 4. Were you, Kim? It just kind of, it was just a weird ending, and it didn't really leave anything hanging for me.
It was a weird ending, and I think that may have been a little bit intentional because they knew they were going to be switching to new showrunners. Mm-hmm. I think they were all very much kind of waiting to see what happened in the real world. You know, I don't think anybody can separate that out anymore. Everything is the real world intrudes on a lot of dramas now, and I think that was a little part of it. Everybody was still just kind of waiting to see what was going to happen. But, you know, the promo for the new season, it's very short. It, again, isn't revealing a lot. But one key thing is that the American flag is upside down, which, as we know, indicates distress. So I think that, again, may be, you know, another bit of another hint that it is going to be a darker season.
Maybe an impeachment for Frank Underwood.
Ooh,
we'll see. That's May 30th for House of Cards. We touched earlier this week, Kim, on some of the new Netflix shows. I know Grace and Frankie is already up. Orange is the New Black. Will that be back this fall?
That will be back this summer June. And it's a very interesting concept for the new season. The whole season takes place across just a few days. So I think we're going to probably pick up where we left off with that riot that happened at the end of the season. And I think that's what we're going to cover, kind of the fallout, the aftermath of that over the course of just 2 or 3 days.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, it ended with Daya holding the gun, and she was more of a passive character, something you wouldn't expect. So maybe fallout for her character and her mom, who just got out of prison, so we can expect to see that too?
Exactly, and I think those are two of the more compelling characters, and as you said, that was such a surprise that she was the one. I think she had just kind of hit her wall of how much stress she could deal with, and as you said, she's now going to be alone in the prison with her mom getting out. So, I think it's potentially a really interesting kind of mix-up of how they're going to go this season.
Kim, I've been telling Andrea she's got to watch Bloodline. You haven't watched it yet.
No, I hear it's great, though.
That's a great show. Now, this will be, what, season 3 coming up?
Season 3, and sadly, the final season.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm so bummed. I love that show, too, and it just got even better in season two. I thought the focus on the son was so great. He's such a great young actor. It is coming back in June. Again, sadly, final season, but I think, you know, they left us, obviously, with quite the, we don't want to spoil it for people who haven't checked in, and there's the good news is that you have plenty of time to catch up before then, because there are two just pretty short seasons. I think there are 10 episodes each. Well worth catching up
on. Yeah, recommended.
Yeah, highly, highly.
I'm still in my first season of that one.
That's a good one.
Gotta get moving.
And let's close it out, Netflix, with BoJack Horseman.
Yes. A lot of people are kind of slowly finding that show very, very funny, kind of a commentary on a lot of things, on Hollywood, on fame, on celebrities, on the internet, on bully. I mean, just pretty much any kind of modern topic, modern social topic that show pokes a little fun at. And it's just a really fun, quirky show.
All right, we'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back with our whiny staff questions, of which there are many, as always. And more with Kim Potts on TV coming up.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:21 in the morning, 720 WGN. We continue our conversation with one of our favorite guests of all time, Kim Potts. She's all things TV. Follow her on Yahoo TV. Okay, Kim, let's do a quick, let's do a little lightning round here before we get to the whiny staff questions. How about Doctor Who?
Doctor Who is back on April 15th. People are very excited about the new season. It is unfortunately the last season for the current star, but that has everybody in another exciting search for the next Doctor. So definitely worth tuning in and seeing the last go around for him and you know, weigh in on the internet, as everyone has no problem doing,
right?
With who you think should be the next Doctor.
The Leftovers, final season.
Final season, April 16th. Again, another very secretive show. No one likes to talk about what's going to happen ahead of time, but it's 8 episodes, so very shortened final season. And I think they have kind of hinted that we'll get some answers to a lot of the bigger questions that, you know, have really weighed in throughout the seasons.
What about Veep? I'm having a hard time believing they're ready to go with another season because Julia Louis-Dreyfus has been running around the country following the Northwestern basketball team.
That's so true. Yes, April 16th also, a big night on HBO. The new season of Veep. Who knows what's going to happen there? A lot of big changes, so I'm sure it will be as crazy as it always is and as much fun to watch, but certainly a lot of big changes ahead.
Okay, and Angie Tribeca. I hear we have kind of a well-known guest star on Angie Tribeca this next month.
We do. The season premiere, you know, it's such a wonderfully fun show to watch, the kind of Naked Gun, police spy airplane kind of humor. And in the season premiere, they have Chris Pine guest starring. They have a lot of guest stars throughout the whole season, as they have in the past two seasons. But Chris Pine guest stars as a Hannibal Lecter-ish serial killer who helps Angie try to find another serial killer. So just like the plot of the movie, but Chris Pine puts a good spin on Hannibal Lecter.
Silicon Valley, what, fourth season?
Fourth season, and promises to be a little crazier this year. Richard, the main guy who we've been following in his team with Pied Piper, quits the company and decides that he wants to keep the name and start a new company where he will create a new internet, which kind of sounds like a good idea to me. I think we could use a new one.
Yeah, right? Because the current one is, what, outdated a little bit?
I think it's a little outdated, a little too mean in some places. Maybe we just start the whole thing over.
Let's just blow up Twitter and start from ground zero. Oh, President Trump tweeting. Hold on. All right. Our favorite part of the segment here with Kim Potts, Yahoo TV. Whiny staff questions. All right, Annette, you're up. Why don't we start with you? Want to start with Carmen?
Yeah, let's start. Carmen, you got a whiny
dying.
Staff question?
He's chomping at the bit here, Kim.
Well, you know, Kim, we talked on Tuesday, and I'm getting a little bit emotional about girls coming to an end at the end of the year. What's next for Lena Dunham?
Here we go again.
He's not kidding, Kim.
How do I keep Lena and Allison and really all of them in my life?
I think it's going to be tough with some of them. They don't really have their next big gigs lined up yet. You know, with Lena Dunham, I don't think it's not usually very hard to follow her. Kind of controversy seems to find her, I think. But, you know, she does a, and if you just Google it, you can find it. It's called Lenny, L-E-N-N-Y. It's a weekly newsletter that she does. And it's a lot of very interesting things. She does a lot of interviews. She gets access to people that not everyone does. And it's just kind of a, I mean, it's definitely in fitting with the vibe, the tone of the show. If you like the show, I think you'll like her newsletter. And just, it's free. You sign up for it at her website. And that's a good way to keep in touch with her and what she's doing. And I'm guessing she'll probably keep everyone updated on her castmates as well.
You can get text alerts from Lena.
I feel a lot better. Thank you. thank you, Kim.
Okay, Mary Vandeveld, it's all
yes,
you.
Yes, finally. I'm a big history buff, and I love the PBS shows Mercy Street and The Crown. So I know Mercy Street almost didn't come back last season. Is it going to come back?
It's not, unfortunately.
What?
They just, I know, it's so sad. And such an amazing cast that just got even better this season.
They left us hanging.
They did leave us hanging. Yeah, unfortunately, that was the final season.
Oh, how about The Crown will be back, though, right?
The Crown is definitely back. It sounds so exciting. They're adding new real world characters, real people. Michael C. Hall from Dexter is going to be playing John F. Kennedy in season two.
Nice.
So that should be interesting. Some more historical figures added to the mix. And yeah, I a lot to look forward to with that.
All right, Kim, The Good Fight. I didn't think it could get any better. I love it, love it, love it. I'm on episode 5. All the original characters are back. I want to get your thoughts on it. And if you think what's going to blow up, what's going to happen in this season?
Well, so you're on episode 5.
Yes.
Episode 6 is the one was last week's. It was very divisive. A lot of people thought, well, I don't want to spoil
okay.
kind of what happens, but it's very topical again, very covers a lot of the current social topics, controversies, Twitter, real world people who are dividing Twitter users and causing a lot of comments. And a lot of people thought it went too far. It's essentially an alt-right themed episode.
Okay.
A lot of people thought it went too far. A lot of people thought it was just getting too political. But the people who loved it, I think, and I am one of them, I think that it explained a lot of things that people didn't necessarily understand. Because, you know, often when there's a controversy, especially these days in political things and anything Trump-related, you kind of you get such a bombardment of Twitter comments and of news stories that you don't always have time to figure out what's actually going on. And I think this episode actually did that. It took the time to kind of explain all sides and why everybody on each side feels the way they do. So I thought it was actually one of the best episodes of TV that I had seen in a long time. I thought it was definitely the best episode of this show so far. And it makes me think, wow, what are we going to get next? Because this is only the 6th episode and they're already, you know, going to these great places.
Boy, I agree. You have all of the people from the original cast plus some new characters. I'm so glad that the buzz is positive. It's on CBS All Access. It is just a powerful show. Now they can swear too. But would there be any talk, because the buzz has been so good and you know, people are really enjoying it. It seems to me, and you are too, that they would bring it back to regular television?
You know, there is a little bit of buzz about that. And I think, I mean, I think that CBS doesn't necessarily want to promote that as an idea, because they really want this to be a separate thing. And they have that new Star Trek show coming up on CBS All Access. You know, they're definitely planning big network-worthy, frankly, you know, shows to be on this. So I think they want to kind of maintain that and not necessarily have people thinking that that's going to happen. But the fact is, if you have a show that's that popular and you have that cast and they're getting that level of guest stars as well, I think if the pressure is on, you know, why not? Why not show it on both? I mean, because there are people who will pay to see it ahead of time.
Yep.
Why not rerun it a week later, you know, on the network? So that everybody can see it.
Absolutely.
All right. I know we're just about out of time, but I was the lone voice on this show last year. Well, except for Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, talking about the show Billions.
Oh, yeah.
That I liked Billions. Steve didn't like it. Now it seems
back.
Like there's a movement, Kim. Everybody likes Billions. I just want to say I was there for the beginning. I think it's a great show. Season two has been better than season one.
I totally agree. I love this season. Last week's episode was so great with, you know, poor Eric Bogosian's Boyd character is kind of caught between Chuck and Axe, and they both kind of got what they wanted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually this morning just watched a screener of the episode that'll air Sunday. That continues. That rivalry continues. Axe makes a very, no spoilers, but he makes a very big play to reunite with someone, which you could probably figure out if you think about that. But I think it has been fantastic this season. I liked it in season one. I love season two.
Same here.
Kim,
great.
You are the best. Thank you. Twice in a week, we're so happy.
Thank you. It was so fun.
You've made our week. We can follow you on Twitter?
On Twitter at TV Screener.
Okay, very good. Kim, thanks so much.
Thanks,
Have a
Kim.
Great weekend.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you guys, too. Lots of good TV.
You got it. That's the great Kim Pox, and we're back after this on WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
#8:41, The Steve Cochran Show. Without Steve Cochran this morning, Andre Darlis, Dave Bennett here. Time for Breakfast with the Blackhawk. It is sponsored by MB Financial Bank, and we welcome in number 51 from your red-hot, white-hot Chicago Blackhawks, Brian Campbell. Your boy Cochran's on injured reserve. Soup, do you think this is a big area of concern for the Blackhawks with the playoffs only 8 games away?
Well, hopefully he's only week to week, so we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he can get back in time to get in shape and get his legs back.
Well, we would hope so, although I don't think his legs are really a problem right now. More his voice. But
so that's upper body, right, above the waist?
That would be upper body.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe you need, on your way out of town here on this road trip, you need to swing by and kind of give him a little pep talk, get him up and going. What do you think?
Yeah, need some good tea to fix that up, fix that voice up.
There you go. See, and maybe soup and a sandwich.
There you go.
No longer, it's a hot soup.
Oh, little chicken
little soup.
How cool
there
would that
go.
Be?
There we go, not hot tea.
Soup drops
there
him
we
off
go.
Some Campbell's chicken noodle.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good idea.
That might work.
74.
Brian's going, no way.
Yeah, no
it's like
way.
I have better things to do.
I got to pack. I got to get going. 74 games down, 8 to go, 102 points. Only Washington has more, and only 2 more. You're tied with the Capitals for most victories. An 8-point lead now over Minnesota. The Wild does have a game in hand. But this, I mean, just amazing as the way this team took control of the division, leapfrogged Minnesota and the Western Conference now. And have you been with a team, Brian? You've been with some very good teams. You've been with Stanley Cup champions, but have you ever been with a team this hot for this extended period of time in a season?
Yeah, you know, we played pretty. We got a lot of points at the start of the season, but we didn't play very well. And you know, and then we went in that stretch where we were really playing well. And I think it was in January there. Our team is really clicking, so, you know, we're just, you know, dominating teams, I felt like. Now, you know, we're kind of back. We're winning some games, kind of a little ugly. So, you know, I think that's our focus now over the next 8 games is to get our game ready to go at the top of the level that we need to be at. So once we hit game one, we're ready to go. But there's a lot of talent in this team. It's a good team. We just, if we're clicking, you know, I think we can compete and I think we can beat anybody. So it's going to be interesting. But I think, you know, we want to ramp it up a little bit. This homestand, we got points and we got the job done, but it wasn't pretty.
You know, we talk all year about the young talent, and it seems like every few weeks another guy is added to the mix, and Hayden being the latest. What have you seen from him in his first week and a half in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, he's a big, strong kid. So, you know, I think he'll throw his weight around. And, you know, he'll shoot the puck in areas, so he's not afraid of doing that. So, overall, he wants to contribute, wants to help out, and he's a good kid. So, you know, it'll be interesting. He wants to learn. You know, I know the game is so much different when we're playing every other day compared to college hockey. So, you know, he's always asking questions, you know, how to get better and how to get ready for games and everything. So, you know, he wants the best out of himself. So I think it's just going to help our team.
Brian, do you have a feeling that Crow was going to have a big night last night coming off the Vancouver game?
Well, you know, we made him have a big game the way we played, but I think anytime, you know, a goalie comes out like Eddie Belfour for that one more shift, you know, Crow put on a pretty good display for him last night. So, you know, he definitely stole us the points last night.
Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, I believe, has a question for you.
I do, Brian. Do you have any feelings going back to Florida?
It'll be fun. I'm going to, you know, I think I'm going to go for dinner with a couple guys. But
are you going to go with your former D partner, QD Aaron Ekblad?
Yeah, I talked to him, so I'm hopefully going to meet up with him tonight. So he's, I really enjoyed my time with him, and he's a great guy. So, you know, that's about it. I think I enjoyed my time there. I don't think I was attached there as much as obviously I am here. But it'll be good to go back, see some faces, and you know, as a part of my wife Lauren and I's life, you know, forever, and Harper. Our kids were both live there, so it'll be it leaves a great memory in our lives. So it'll be nice to get back there.
All right, this is probably a very good segue. We have more to talk to Brian Campbell about, but we want to read to you. We want to ask you, or actually read the question of the week from Michelle Kowal from Joliet. The question for you this week, Brian. Speaking of this, do you ever find yourself hesitating or being not as aggressive on delivering a hit to one of your former teammates?
I think a little bit. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had it happen to me before where, you know, the guy, they're like, okay, heads up, I'm coming, you know. So there's always a little banter and chatter, you know, I think to help guys out, you know, because that's the thing. At the end of the day, nobody's, you know, trying to do anything to anybody. Obviously, playoffs is a different story. It's a grind, and you're trying to play physical to wear down, but I think definitely, you know, in the regular season, there is some talk like that on the ice where, you know, it's hard for fans to hear. Nobody's going to hear that. It's like, okay, I'm coming. I got to hit you. Because if they don't hit you, then the coach is going to be mad at them. But I think they do let up a little bit.
Nothing like get up, old man. Nothing like that. Little smack talk.
No, not like that.
And guys understand that too, right? I mean, did you have a chance to catch up with Sharpie last night?
I did not. I got to text him today. I was, after the game, I was a little, I was busy in the room there after, so I didn't, but definitely said hi to him on the ice.
This Florida trip seems like more often than not when the Blackhawks have played there, having been gone for 5 years. I don't know if you recall this. It seems like they've normally been back-to-back games. Florida one night, Tampa Bay the other night, then it would be the next night. And here you have a day off in between the two games in Florida. So what happens there? Do you guys stay down in South Florida? Do you travel after the game? Do you travel the next morning up to Tampa? How does that work?
We'll travel after the game in South Florida to Tampa. So we'll be there. What day do we play?
You play there Monday night.
I can't remember days the amount we're playing right now. So after Saturday's game, we'll head to Tampa and head there. And then we'll have kind of like the whole Sunday kind of, whether we have practice or not, off that day.
That's good.
The Kaner goal last night in the shootout, Brian, and I guess that's just normal now, but that was something. When you're seeing him do the stick handling, you see it all the time. Do you still get amazed?
Well, for sure. I didn't think he was going to be going five pole back there. Like it's amazing. I thought he might try and go backhand and try to go upstairs on him. But, you know, he just, you know, these goalies are so good, but he makes a goalie look like, you know, oh, I know what he's exactly going to do. And then I'm going to cross him up again. And, how quick that stuff is it is unbelievable. Panera's goal was unbelievable.
Yeah.
How he had him lean in left, and he just kind of like fake shot, kind of just went backhand, and he had that whole corner. And believe me, it's not as easy for people at home, you know, for the rest of us guys out there on the ice to be able to do that. So I know some people are like, oh, I could do that. But believe me, when there's 18 other guys on the team that can't do it, it's pretty special.
I mean, I used to crush it in floor hockey. I would do that move all the time. It was just, it was like
same
nothing.
Move?
Yeah, yeah. Identical.
Did you keep your stick to the ice? Like Q said earlier this week? Keep your stick on the ice? On the floor?
Yeah, I don't know if I did that.
Hey, we have Mary Simberg Boy Comcast Sports that had a great idea. Instead of promotion, you know, there's promotional items like bobblehead night and floppy hat night. There should be like Brian Campbell's own can of soup. So they give that out as promotional item with your picture on it.
Yeah, that's, I do get the odd soup can left on my front door around here.
Do you really?
Game or something. So, yeah, I have gotten that a few times this year, so. It's pretty funny.
Is it any particular kind of soup? I mean, I know it's Campbell's,
usually tomato.
Tomato? That's good. Good choice.
Was soup here when Carmen was going off on how much he loves lentil soup?
I don't think he was.
Chance to throw you under the bus there. Yeah, Carmen was saying his favorite soup is lentil.
Something wrong with a lentil, right, Brian?
Hey, if you're at the odd time, it's all right. I don't mind it.
Aww, thank you. So
broth,
sweet.
Right?
Thank you. Are you still alive in your NCAA tournament bracket?
No. That ship got sailed once Duke sails home.
Yeah.
Well, and once Gonzaga beat Northwestern, Mark. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, so you're going to stop by and see Steve, right, and give him a little pep talk before you guys head for Florida.
Yeah, we're out this afternoon, so I'm going to head over there, bring him. I like the soup idea. Get him some warm soup, and off I go.
I know he'll appreciate that. Have a great trip. Enjoy your return to South Florida tomorrow night. We'll have it right here on WGN, and keep it going.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, Brian.
Brian Campbell, Breakfast with a Blackhawk. And again, tomorrow night, 5:30 on WGN, the Blackhawks and the Florida Panthers. 8:52, back on 720 WGN in a moment.
8:55 in the morning, 720 WGN, just a few minutes away from the news. Bill and Wendy coming in at 10 o'clock. Just want to remind everybody, Dave, to send letters, send notes, send cards to our friend Owen Mahan, the little boy who's undergoing a couple of more surgeries, I believe, this summer as well. 302 Brixton Woods E. Drive, the letter E, Drive.
And Brixton is Brixton.
And it's Pittsboro, Indiana. The zip code is 46167. You can go to our website, WGNradio.com, and click on the Steve Cochran Show page if you want to hear that again. 302 Brixton Woods E Drive in Pittsboro, Indiana. It's Owen Mahan, Mahan. And we've been sending him cards and letters. And
he loves to get mail.
Yeah, his mom said that she reads the letters to him while he's doing the physical therapy to kind of keep his mind off of everything. And boy, this little boy needs, you know, as much support as he can get. He has been through so much at such a young age. If you can just maybe send a letter. I actually went to the dollar store and got a couple of holiday cards, like a St. Patrick's Day card,
cool.
Valentine's Day card, just little cards to send. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, she and her kids last night wrote a few letters. Mary, you guys wrote some letters to Owen. The kids did, right?
Yeah, they did last night. They were making him cards. And it was cute. Patrick, you know, who just turned 10, they were looking at the Facebook page of all his pictures, and he's like, I'm going to put a baseball field on this because he wears a lot of baseball caps and baseball shirts, so he could tell he likes baseball. So.
Oh, that's cool. You know what? We get a lot of little tchotchkes from the Blackhawks and the Cubs. We should put
some
of our sports stuff together. You get a lot of sports
goodies.
You do? Goodies.
You get that stuff?
I don't. You guys get a lot
of
that stuff.
I don't get that stuff.
Carmen gets
it. The Blackhawks are very generous and give a lot of stuff to our station, so
yes.
We can send it to...
Yes, we'll send them some little sports tchotchkes. But that's great. What did the kids write in their letter?
Patrick said, keep smiling. And Catherine said, you know, keep up the great work and you're so strong. And, you know, I'm so happy to know about you. So it was really sweet. They were, Catherine was Googling the story of Owen and she was reading it to Patrick. And it said, you know, he's lucky to be alive, you know, because what happened to him when he was a baby. And Patrick said, sometimes it's just not your time to go when God decides, you know. So it was just like,
God,
really cute.
How sweet is that? Yeah. I like the fact that the kids are writing letters to him because that's neat. They can relate on a whole
really
different
sweet.
Level.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take much. Get on out there. Owen Mahan, our little friend, hopefully he's listening today. We love you, Owen. We're thinking about you. We're going to get some new cards and letters and some things out to you. And keep on keeping on. Stay strong. We're back after this on WGN.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
DNA, 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 DNA,
DNA,
Cochran Show.
Sing along. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't think he's going
to like
it. I think
we're going to hear from Steve
so
any
too.
Minute.
Oh, here comes the texting. Steve is out sick. He is going to be back with us on Monday. We miss him. We wish him well. We're going to send Brian Campbell over there with a little chicken soup for him.
Yes, he doesn't know that.
Maybe we should all show up in mass on his front door with chicken soup. What do you think? After
you
the
should do that. Yeah,
no,
and see that reaction.
Steve, he would love to see you on
yes,
his front door.
Yes, he would. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would. I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to just stay away from all of us for a few days and get
away.
Well. Well, we are thinking of you, Stephen.
Yeah, we are.
So get back here on Monday. Okay, first of all, happy Friday. It's Dave Enn and Andrea Darlis. Mark Carman's here as well. We're always changing lives. We're interviewing people who mm-hmm. change lives, and we wanted you to meet somebody. Hello to all of our friends at CLTV as well. We wanted you to meet Valerie Groth. She's a life coach, an executive coach, if you will, and she's spearheading a mission to build Chicago's first boarding school for inner city students. And she joins us in studio this morning. How are you, Valerie?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. All right, tell us a little bit about your background. You were a social worker. Mm-hmm. How did you decide to undertake such a massive project like this?
Yeah, so I worked as a school social worker on the South Side in CPS for a long time, and I worked with really amazing kids who were so full of potential, but there were so many things happening outside of the school environment that really got in the way of them being able to learn and achieve. So I saw these kids who could really make something of themselves, but they were going through issues like poverty, you know, hunger, homelessness, and thought that if we could have a place where they could have a 24/7 environment with a great, loving support system, that they could really have a chance at success.
These students, and many of them, you mentioned abuse, neglect, hunger, violence mm-hmm. is such a big thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure so many of your students are growing up in an environment where they don't want to have to be scared to walk to school. I know there's mm-hmm. safe passage, but they don't want to have to look over their shoulder. Did they come to you and express these concerns like, hey, we just want to get up one day and not hear bullets flying through the air?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, that was a reality for so many kids. It's not the anomaly. It was the norm for a lot of students that I worked with. And, you know, some people might have heard kids saying things like, you know, I don't believe that I'm going to grow up to be 18. And that was actually something that I heard quite often. You know, a lot of students in that environment, it's just part of their daily life. And, you know, the violence is worse here in Chicago than even in bigger cities like New York and LA. So it's definitely getting worse, like we've all seen. And I saw way too many students having to witness that on a regular basis.
The Ryan Banks Academy, and there's a story as well behind the name of the school.
There is. So Ryan was actually one of my students that I worked really closely with. He was a really fantastic student. He was lost to gun violence when he was only 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Ryan was playing on the front steps of his house with his young brother when he was targeted. And right before Ryan was killed, we had made vision boards together, and it had these. Ryan shows these amazing words like the power of the possible and the world's greatest starts with a single step. And so looking back, I kind of, you know, that was a big part of the catalyst for me to want to create the school, thinking about children like Ryan who were so bright and so full of potential, but, you know, didn't get to live past their 12th birthday.
Absolutely. And this is going to be an amazing school, too, because it's not just going to be classroom and educational, but I also love this too, and this is so important. We were talking about wellness earlier, but personal development, and you can do it in a positive environment mm-hmm. where you don't have to be scared mm-hmm. or nervous or worried about classmates or fighting or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece of it. When I worked in the school system, I think there was just such a lack of the resources that these kids needed. I was one social worker to many hundreds of kids, almost 1,000 students, and that ratio, I think, is just not acceptable. One social worker to 800 students, there's only so much that you can do, and the need is so great. So I think a big part of what we're not able to do in the current system is to give these kids the social, emotional, mental health services that they need. And I don't necessarily fault the schools, because that's not their job to give all of these resources. But they're stretched so thin that they're not able to do that. But there's just such a great need for the kids.
I'll be honest. It makes so much sense. I wonder, has anyone tried to do this before that you know of?
They have. So there aren't a whole lot of models out there. It's still kind of a new idea. But there are quite a few out there in other cities. And they've been able to have great success. So there are quite a few on the East Coast, some on the West Coast. But nothing here in Chicago.
Hmm.
2018, 2019 is your goal to have mm-hmm. the school open, right? So mm-hmm. it would be for not this school year in the fall, but next year in the fall. What's the next step right now? I mean, obviously, you're getting the word out. Yeah. What else do you need?
We've done so many things over the past 2.5 years. We wrote a curriculum. We have a really fantastic team. We have been able to spread the word really well, I think, here in the city and even across the country. What's been great is people, even outside of Chicago, really have resonated with the mission, and they've seen what's happening in Chicago and have wanted to be involved. So at this point, our biggest challenge is definitely fundraising, just making sure we have the money we need to get off the ground and help these kids.
Where will the school be?
So that's a great question. We have a few different options right now. Nothing is set in stone yet. We're working on some partnerships. We hope to have that solidified within the next couple of months. We have some great options. We're just still working out at this point, but it will be on the south side.
Okay. So if people, I mean, are you looking for, if somebody maybe has a parcel of land or a facility or whatnot, is that welcome too? Or
you absolutely.
Kinda, okay, good.
Yes,
okay,
very
good.
Much.
Good.
We okay. would welcome that.
I have a parcel of land, don't you? I mean, everybody's
hey,
got
you
parcels.
Know what? I'll buy it. How much will you sell it for, to me for?
Oh, no, I'll. If I can find a parcel of land.
Yeah, I got a parcel of land to sell you.
I bet you do.
We're talking to Valerie Groth about this wonderful new program and a project that she's undertaking, a mission to build Chicago's first boarding school for inner city students. We'll continue the conversation with her right after this on WGN and CLTV.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
Cochran Show for Friday morning. Andrea Darlis and Dave Ennett sitting in for Steve, who we hope will be back on Monday. Still struggling with his voice a little bit, but hopefully he's up and around. And welcome to those of you watching on CLTV, listening on 720 WGN. Valerie Groth is with us. It is valeriegroth.com. That's valeriegroth.com. Talking about the Ryan Banks Academy, Valerie is working to get this inner city boarding school established and a big fundraiser coming up. Valerie, tell us about that.
Yeah, we're really excited. So we have been so lucky to partner with actor, comedian Jeff Garland. So Jeff is from Chicago, now out in L.A. Listeners might know him best from Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Goldbergs, both fantastic shows. And he's going to be in town on April 13th for a movie screening for his upcoming film called Handsome.
Yeah, we're going to have him on in a couple of weeks to promote it. 2 weeks, I believe, from today.
Yeah, so it's going to be on April 13th at the Music Box Theater, and all proceeds go back to Ryan Banks Academy. So if you want to get tickets, they're only $20, which includes the movie and also a Q&A with Jeff after. So it'll be a lot of fun, and you can go to ryanbanksacademy.org to get tickets.
Oh, that would be cool. Jeff, he's a very engaging guy.
Oh, he's great.
Loves Chicago.
Yes.
That's clear. Loves the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question about that. And I think the chance for fans to be able to sit and ask him mm-hmm. questions after seeing the movie would be a really unique experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we're just so excited to have him on board. I've been a big fan of his for a long time, and he's so talented and just hilarious as a comedian, but also such a good guy.
What got him involved in this, or what appealed to him about it,
Valerie? Yeah, it's a great question. So we connected kind of randomly through social media, and he ended up learning more about the Ryan Banks Academy and reached out and said, you know, I've been watching what's happening in Chicago from far away, and I just feel so helpless seeing the violence and what's going on in the city. And I've wanted a way to get involved, but didn't know what to do. And then I found Ryan Banks Academy, and this is exactly what I've been looking for. So for us, that was just, you know, really fantastic and validating for him to kind of appreciate the work that we're doing and to be a supporter is really great.
Is that the reaction, Valerie, that you've been getting to just kind of an outpouring of support? Like, hey, this is a great idea. We are with you 100%.
Yeah, it really has been. I've met so many people who have even said to me, oh my gosh, I used to work in the schools and I always wanted to have a boarding school. I've met strangers who have said that, who had no affiliation with education. I think people definitely see the benefit to it. So it's a long time coming. We needed this yesterday. We needed this 5 years ago. It's definitely at the time.
Now, this is further on down the road. I know we're still looking for the facility and you're almost there and getting everything set and ready, hoping to open for the 2018-2019 school year. Will students be able to, or parents be able to apply or say, hey, you know what, I'd love, or is it going to be a selection process like you are going to go and decide, not you personally, but your committee?
Yeah, parents can definitely contact us, and we haven't officially started recruiting students. We do have a wait list starting, so if they're interested, they can go to ryanbanksacademy.org, and there's a contact page, and we'd love to hear from parents, and we can also answer any questions they have at this point, too.
So sounds like a great undertaking.
Grades 7 through 12.
Yeah, so the first year we'll have just 7th grade students and adding one grade a year, so eventually 7th through 12th grade.
See, that's I think there will be so many people who look every day at what's happening in this city and they say, what can I do? How can I help? Yeah. Because things are so out of control and you get this feeling of helplessness. Mm-hmm. Well, here's an opportunity where you can help. You can make a difference.
Yeah, I think so many people see what's happening in Chicago and it just feels so overwhelming, right? And I think it's easy to say, there's no way that I, as one person, can make a difference, and you just kind of throw your hands up. And I felt that way. I felt really frustrated seeing the uptick in violence and what's happening in our city. But this is a way that one person can make a difference. You know, we're looking for volunteers. No donation is too small. No donation is too large. And this really is a way that anyone listening can make a huge difference in the lives of kids in Chicago.
I think so. I think so too. Teachers, social workers, psychologists at school, these more often than not, don't you find, are the mentors for students? Because if there's problems at home, problems on the street, whatever it might be, especially in these areas that we're talking about, they come to school for a safe haven. They want an out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Arnie Duncan, the former Secretary of Education, once said years ago when he was talking about boarding schools that even if 1% of kids in Chicago, conservatively speaking, could benefit from a boarding school, that's not one school, that's like 15 schools. And so the need is definitely there. And, you know, we're hoping to serve about 260 kids at max capacity. That's still not enough. You know, ideally, we'd like to have multiple schools like this because there is such a great need here in Chicago.
Excuse me. Let's take these. Thank you. Microphone needs to be on. Let's take the standard kid who is perhaps a little bit different, gets picked on, not doing his work, and is generally just doesn't have a lot of energy. How do you coach a kid like that up to realize that, A, he's okay, and B, to approach the opportunities that are in front of him?
Well, I think it really goes back to what I said about making sure you have enough social emotional support. You know, when I worked in the schools and was working with hundreds of kids at a time, you know, I wasn't able to give the one-on-one attention that so many students need. And there are a lot of kids going through issues like bullying or just peer pressure, you know, ranging to self-esteem issues. A lot of students who are dealing with suicidal ideation, often because of what they were experiencing, you know, at home in the neighborhood. And kind of on the farther end of the spectrum, students who witnessed really horrific things like a homicide, you know, in their house the night before, had to come to school the next day. And it's really challenging to expect a child like that to come to school and learn.
We actually were we interviewed a student earlier this week who actually watched his best friend get gunned down. And you think, you know, that's horrible for an adult to have to deal with, but a peer, I mean, somebody at that young of an age. So, and like I said, I think, you know, they come to school, they're looking at you, the social workers, the teachers, as their mentors, and for some solace, for a way out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a big part of what we are trying to do within our curriculum is to integrate the social emotional learning. So we wrote a curriculum that we're really excited about that focuses on experiential learning, STEM plus arts. So technology and the arts, which I think is so neglected in a lot of schools right now. But the social emotional learning is not going to be just the social work and the counselor services, but it's actually integrated into the daily curriculum. So everyone's going to be getting, you know, a daily dose of that.
It's a wonderful undertaking. We wish you the best of luck. lot. Give the website again and then information on the Jeff Garland event.
Yes, thank you. So the website is ryanbanksacademy.org. And again, if you're interested in making a donation, volunteering, you're welcome to head to the website. And also tickets for the Jeff Garland event are on that website as well. And the event is April 13th, which is a Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Music Box Theater. And doors open at 6:30.
And the movie is called Handsome.
So the movie is called Handsome. It has been described as a Columbo-style detective mystery.
Excellent. And Jeff will be on with us in 2 weeks to promote it as well.
Great.
So best of luck to you, Valerie. It's a wonderful undertaking. And your website, ValerieGroth.com.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Best of luck. We'll be back with the big story next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
My mom is a mom before she's a lady that sings on stage in sparkly clothes. She is a mom first and foremost. So when we were kids, she never left for longer than a week. She would record at night when we were sleeping, so she would still have dinner with us, put us in bed, and wake us up in the morning. I'd been to the White House by the time I was, seven. Andy Warhol painted me and my sisters. I've had a lot of experiences that are not normal. Most people, when their parents go to work, people don't bang on the car to try and follow them and touch them. I feel really blessed, not because my mom was Diana Ross, but because I had a great mommy.
It's 9:38 in the morning, 720 WGN. Dave Ann and Andrea Darlis in for Steve. He'll be back on Monday. Bill and Wendy at 10. That voice was Tracy Ellis Ross, the star and recent Golden Globe winner of the TV show Black-ish with Anthony Anderson. What a great show. You've seen it, right, Dave?
I have. Yeah, very funny show. And a very, I think, a very telling show. I think it's insightful. I enjoy it.
I think the writing is great. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny. I kind of like how they pound on the dad a little bit. You know, he can't get a room to himself. He can't have time to himself. It's just very funny, very well written. And I didn't realize Tracy Ellis Ross was Diana Ross's daughter until she won the Globe. And then I just didn't realize it was out there, but you did.
I did. And she's won the Emmy 2 years in a row for lead actress in a comedy series.
Yeah. How interesting is that, though? She's so down to earth and so cool, but grew up, of course, you're Diana Ross's daughter, you know, a legend, not just a singer. It's Diana Ross. So growing up with that, even though Andy Warhol did their paintings, it has to be, you know, challenging, don't you think?
I mean, and you may not know this, I'm a few years older than you.
Just a few.
As a child of the 60s, I mean, the Supremes were as big as it got back in the, well, you know, right there with the Beatles. I mean, Diana Ross and the Supremes were huge and, I mean, absolute superstars.
Yeah.
And you kind of looked at them, and Diana Ross, I think, was kind of seen as this, her stage persona, everybody knew, but I don't think people looked at her and thought, well, there's a mom who's spending a lot of time at home with her kids.
Yeah, and revered, too, not just here, but all over the world. I took a trip to, it was a tour of Belgium and Amsterdam many years ago, about 10 years ago or so. And we were eating at a restaurant as part of the group. And there was a little kind of, you know, when you go into a restaurant, the back portion, you step up a little bit. And there was a private party, a group, but you could still see them. And there were velvet ropes around it. And it was Diana Ross and her party. Maybe Tracy Ellis Ross was there.
She could have been there.
But yeah, so she was there. And I remember one of the ladies in our group said, can we go up and say hello? And the wait staff said, no, 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 it's private party. It's Diana Ross. You know, she's having dinner. And she saw what was going on and called the lady over and said, of course, and took a picture. And just a warm, wonderful person. So we're going to talk to Willie Geist, our friend Willie Geist from MSNBC's Morning Joe. Actually got to interview Tracy Ellis Ross one-on-one. We're going to play it this weekend. And morning, Willie. How you doing?
Good morning. Good to be with you guys. How's it going?
Thanks for being with us. We're talking all about Tracy Ellis Ross and what a down-to-earth, cool person she is, in addition to a successful actress, Golden Globe winning. It's a great show. But even growing up with all this privilege as Diana Ross's daughter, just a down-to-earth person.
She is. I have to say, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but she was the most fun I've had of any of these interviews we've done for Sunday Today. And we've had some really fun people. I'd never met her before. And she walked into this restaurant where we did the interview and was just like a ball of fire. She's hilarious, for one thing, like genuinely comedian, hilarious, charming, really smart and thoughtful. And you're right. You know, she grew up as Diana Ross's daughter, but she somehow maintained this level of relative, we shouldn't say normalcy because she didn't have a normal upbringing, but relative normalcy where, you know, I think she said in the interview that Diana Ross made the kids a priority. She recorded at night. She dropped them off at school in the morning, took them to school at night. She planned her tours around them and tried to make it as normal as it could be. And it worked. I mean, she was just a joy, Tracee Ellis Ross. And you'll see it in the interview Sunday.
And Willie, we were talking, Andre and I, before you joined us about the fact that it was kind of a surprise to learn that Tracee Ellis Ross was Diana Ross's daughter. Clearly, she's achieved the success that she's achieved in show business without people being aware of her connection to Diana Ross.
That's so true. You know, somebody, I think Savannah Guthrie said that this morning. We did a little tease ahead to my interview Sunday on the show, and we went off the air, and Savannah said, I didn't know she was Diana Ross's daughter, which, as you say, I think is a tribute to her and a credit to her. She hasn't carried it around with her, and she actually, you know, she graduated from college and went and worked in the fashion industry. She was an editor at fashion magazines, so she didn't burst into this acting career until a little bit later on. And really, she's 44 years old, as she talked about in her Golden Globes acceptance speech, and this is her moment, so she's definitely waited for it.
Willie, I was mentioning earlier, I'm a child of the 60s. I grew up with the Supremes in their heyday, and I never saw them perform until last summer. Diana Ross performed at Ravinia here in the Chicago area, and with her on stage was another daughter, Rhonda Ross, who is a beautiful voice, but I think it's pretty cool that Diana Ross, not only is she out touring and did a marvelous performance, but she's got one of her daughters on stage with her now.
Yeah, and they have this interesting mix of their five or six siblings, some of them from one set of parents and one father and some from another. But they're all, like, they're super close. They're all buddies. And, you know, she says herself in the interview, Tracy, she's the perfect combination of her mom and her dad. Her dad was a music executive who was married for, I think, 6 years to Diana Ross. So she's, as she says, she's half Diana Ross and she's half Jewish music executive, I think, is the way she put it, if you can imagine that combination. So she's hysterical. She does a big impersonation of her dad, who sounds a lot like Larry David, the way she does the impersonation.
Oh, that's great.
And she does her mom, too. So it's just, it's a perfect mix, and she's awesome.
She is awesome, and it's such a great show. Dave and I were talking, too, Willie, that the writing is great. It's funny. You know, they're not afraid to just pounce on each other and be a little self-deprecating. Was she surprised at how quickly the show took off?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she had worked with the guy who created the show previously on Girlfriends, which is a show she was on. And so he was creating this show, and she said she was kind of honestly like floundering a little bit, trying to figure out what she was going to do with her life, because she was on that show Girlfriends for 8 seasons, and it was sort of a cult hit, and she thought they finished their run and it'd be a springboard for her. And she said, and then the phone didn't ring. And then so she went through a few years of sort of soul searching, and then the phone did ring, and it was her friend who had created this new show, and she said, sure, I'll go along with it. She trusted him. I think she just said, the writing's great, the cast is good, they take on topical issues, you know, they took on Trump's election, they do police brutality, race, religion, but they do it all with humor. And so, yeah, I think she said, you can never expect something to be as successful as this has been. From the beginning, you just put on a good show, and here she is with a hit.
And that's another show where you have great guest stars. We were talking to Kim Potts earlier about just shows that have great recurring casts. You know, of course, Lawrence Fishburne, but Raven Simone, Wanda Sykes, Tyra Banks, Regina Hall. I mean, these are all stars as well that are on the program.
Yeah, I mean, the cast itself is great, with Anthony Anderson, and you said Lawrence Fishburne and the rest of them. But yeah, they bring a lot of cool people through there. And I think on Sunday, people are going to really just enjoy spending 8 or 9 minutes with her, the way I enjoyed spending the day with her. She's a light, you know. She's, you know, those kind of people. When they walk into the room, they've got big eyes and a smile on their face, and they're funny and they're self-deprecating. And she's I was happy to spend the day with her. She's great.
You interview so many celebrities. Do you find something reaffirming when you meet somebody who is either connected to a superstar, as Tracee Ellis Ross is, or is a star in her own right, and that they're kind of down to earth, kind of normal, kind of reaffirms what you would hope they would be like?
Yeah, yeah, and you guys know this too with your interviews. There are some people who grew up in the spotlight with famous parents who carry around a sense of entitlement with them a little bit, maybe. Yeah. Some of those folks, and you don't get that at all from her. In fact, what I pick up from her is sort of a run in the other direction, that she wants to prove to you that she can do things on her own and that you ought to know her because of her and not because of who her mom is, while at the same time totally comfortable talking about Diana Ross. You know, you don't want to spend too much time saying, oh, your mom's famous, she's great, but she was happy to talk about what kind of mom she was, what it was like growing up as Diana Ross's daughter, some of the benefits, some of the difficulties, but she was just totally open and honest about it. She doesn't hide from it, but at the same time, she wants to be her own woman.
Willie, we love your interviews. You're a great interviewer as well. Is it really fun to go behind the scenes and, you know, whether it be Tracy Ellis Ross or whoever you interview, and kind of, you said spend the day, that kind of makes us smile. You know, you get to go, what do? You go in, have some lemonade, yeah, hang out in the, yeah, on the veranda?
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. We try to... I think my philosophy on these interviews is to remove anything that feels artificial. I mean, you know, you guys know how it is, especially in a live TV show. The person hustles in, you get the mic on, you're under the lights, we got to go, we have 4 minutes and it's over. Here, we do them in sort of off-campus settings. We do it in a restaurant or a bar or a theater or somewhere that has some meaning to the guest. And just, you know, you hang out a little bit beforehand while everyone's getting set up. You get some time to introduce yourself if I don't know them. And you know, when you have a full hour and they've committed to a full hour, you got time. You know, you can plug the movie or the show or the album or whatever it is. But then we can start, you know, once we've done that, get through into the layers of who the person is. And I find, you know, we're lucky we get to pick guests that we know have something to say, you know, who are smart people and accomplished people. And so they're always happy to walk through how they got where they are and talk about their journey, which to me is the most interesting part, because all these famous people that we know and love, like the rest of us, have had moments of doubt or moments where their career wasn't going to work out and they'd already thought about what they were going to do because the acting thing wasn't working. I mean, almost every person I interviewed has had that moment where their bags were packed, they were leaving L.A., and then the phone call came with an audition.
And somehow it all works out. Willie right. Geist, Sunday Today with Willie Geist airs at 7 o'clock on NBC5. And Willie, thank you for the time. We'll look forward to watching your interview with Tracy Ellis Ross this week.
Always enjoy being with you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Willie. Have a great weekend. Again, Sunday Today with Willie Geist, 7 o'clock in Chicago on NBC. All right, back after this on WGN.
WGN and CLTV. We wrap up the week on the Steve Cochran Show. Beautiful day ahead. Going to be in the 70s today.
You going to play any golf?
Not going to play golf today. It's getting there. I mean, we're almost to April. That's golf season. I bet a lot of people hit the golf courses today.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. People were hitting the links earlier in the month before the big snowstorm when it was 65 degrees.
You going to play?
I don't think so. I'm going to work all weekend. You have big plans this weekend, though.
Actually, I have no big plans. This is the first weekend where I'm not working, where I don't have a game, I don't have travel, I don't have anything since, like, football season.
What are you going to do?
Well, actually, it's my daughter-in-law Brooke's birthday was this week, so... we're going to go downtown, take the kids out to dinner tomorrow night.
Any of the three suggested places that I told you about?
They're under consideration.
Uh-huh. That means no?
Probably not. No, they seem like great suggestions. It's so hard to pick a restaurant in Chicago. Oh. And then when you pick one out, then you find out that they're booked up.
Do you notice that too? I mean, lately you can't even just go on a Thursday night. I had a group of friends. We all went to dinner last night. The girls I had gone on vacation with last year, and we could not make a reservation. It was a Thursday night. I think it's 6 o'clock. Great place. We went to Federalis, but we had to make two separate reservations. And then we got there. We said, "Can we sit together?" It's so hard anymore to get a reservation.
We're going tonight for Catherine's birthday with my parents to Elwood's. And that reservation was made like 8.5 weeks ago because they're so busy all the time that you can't. And if you go there and wait,
you have to wait like a good hour. You know, it's or sit at the bar, but you can't really do that with a group of six people.
No, that's and two kids. Lincolnwood, right on Lincoln Avenue.
Did yes. you make a reservation?
I'm working. Well, I have a reservation. I have a reservation and working on a second.
Okay. Do you ever call? Do you ever? Because I've never done this. Outright, I'll say
I feel
that.
Like you're lying, Andrea.
No, I promise you, because you know I would be on it. You know I couldn't lie. It would be all over my face. Mm-hmm. Have you ever called and said, hey, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports?
No. I've called and said, hey, Steve Cochran, WGN yeah. Radio.
And then they're like, we're booked.
No.
But
no.
There are people who do that we know. Yes. We won't say their names, nope. David Kaplan. But we won't say who they are, but they'll I'm kidding. Cap would never do that.
No. I just use Open Table myself.
I'd use Open Table. Yeah, that's pretty much
it. Would you call and say, hey, it's Pat and Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, and Mary Samberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet?
They would say, we don't care, is right. what they would say.
Well, one thing you have to be careful of, because we picked this one place. I made a reservation on Open Table, and then there was a decision made unilaterally bilaterally.
Okay.
To maybe change the restaurant. So you can't make two reservations. You know, Open Table won't let you
won't
make
let
two at the
that.
Same
yeah, you
time.
Have to cancel one.
So you have to cancel yeah. one. And I actually, the reservation that I made yesterday morning, the restaurant already called me to confirm yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, 2 days ahead.
Yeah, see?
That stresses me out, that call to confirm. It almost makes me not want to go, even when I want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I said I'm coming. Yeah. Why can't you believe me?
Yeah, that's a...
Because what if you cancel? What if you
don't show
up?
Well, if I cancel, I would cancel, and they would know I canceled.
Do you think that restaurants anymore get people doing that? I have never not... Like, if I make a reservation...
No shows?
Yeah, if I make a reservation and I can't go, I will always call and cancel it. I think it's so rude that... To not do that.
It's easy to cancel it on Open Table. I can see where people don't want to call and cancel just because... Some people don't like making the
but
phone call.
I think
call.
Restaurants really appreciate it. When
oh,
they
I'm
do.
Sure they do. Yeah.
And I
I'm
also found something else out. I once went to a restaurant. I had made the reservation on Open Table. We sat down, had dinner. The next day, I got an email from Open Table saying, why didn't you show for your reservation? Sort of a, and it wasn't really nicely worded either. And so I wrote their.
Dave getting a beatdown email.
I said, wait a minute. I did go.
WTH,
I did
Dave
go,
Bennett.
And I ate. Where are my points?
That probably didn't stress you out at all.
Where are my points, right? Yeah.
Is there anywhere in the city you can actually go into a restaurant and get a table and not have to have made a reservation? See, I don't go out to eat very often. So that's what bothers my husband the most, is doing all that work beforehand. He just likes to walk into a restaurant. He doesn't like any hassle. Is there any place you guys can think of you can
Tuesday
do
night on a 5:30 maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? Tuesday when the restaurant
Does
opens at 4
o'clock. Anybody cook anymore?
No. Yeah, no. Nobody cooks. Nobody cooks. I'm one of the few people that cooks, I think.
Oh, my husband cooks all the time.
So we're all
going to never go.
We're all going out with you tomorrow night, Dave.
Okay,
back after
I'll
this.
Make that six.
Bill and Wendy too. Next on WGN.